Welcome to Church Online with Fusion City Church. I am so glad that you made the decision to join us today. In just a few moments, we're going to have an opportunity to worship together. And all that means is that we are going to have a chance to sing. And I encourage you, stand up wherever you are, with whoever you are, and sing praises to God and worship Him today. After that, our teaching pastor, Brian, is going to share today's message with us, a message of encouragement, a message of hope, one that will even challenge us in times that are well, quite frankly, challenging. So again, welcome, and we are so glad that you joined us.
Yeah. Fusion family, here we are, week two of Church Online in response to some of the restrictions that we're under. But man, again, just what a great opportunity that we have to still be able to communicate with one another. And I hope today to be able to share some more encouragement with you from Scripture. And I'm actually sharing with you today one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I was telling the guys on staff earlier this week that These are the second set of verses that I ever memorized as a kid after, you know, the John 3:16, which we all grew up kind of memorizing if we were in church. And these were the first verses that I ever memorized. And so they have a significant meaning for me because they've stuck with me for all of these years. And we're going to be talking today about Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So just let me read those or start reading those to you. And Paul here, writing to the church at Rome, he says this in Romans 12. He says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. Now, man, you've heard me say this about 1,000 times, I think, from stage, and it's a little bit different in this setting, but if you're at home right now, you know, and you can say this along with me, that every time we see a therefore in Scripture, we have to do what? We have to stop and see what it's there for, right? And in this case, Paul is talking about not just the last couple of things that he said in the book of Romans, but he's actually talking about everything that he's communicated in the letter up to this point. So chapters 1 through 11. And in there, Paul is talking about over here in chapters 4 and 5, he's talking about how we're justified by faith, that we have peace with God through faith. He's talking about how we were dead in Adam, but we've been made alive together in Christ. He talks about how we've been released from the law. He talks about how we become slaves, not to sin, but slaves to righteousness. And then he's talking about how salvation is for everybody. It's not just for the Jews, but it's for the Gentiles. And he's kind of building this case for what is this amazing truth that we have in the gospel. And then with all of that in mind, right here in Romans 12, verse 1, Paul's gonna kind of flip a switch. They were going from the why to the what. And he's going to be really, really practical with how we apply everything that he's said up to this point. He says, therefore, in response to all of that, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, this idea of sacrifice has its backdrop as the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. And what that was in the Old Testament was people's way of relating to and interacting with God the Father. And so Paul is saying here, it's not a sacrifice like those because nothing is going to die. This is a living sacrifice, but it's still a willful acknowledgement of God's power, of His authority, of His ability to provide, of His ability to save, all of the things that the sacrifices in the Old Testament meant, kind of this willful recognition or acknowledgement of God, all of that, he says, you can make your life, you can do that and still live. You can make your life a sacrifice. So be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable is the next phrase that he uses. Some other translations use the word pleasing to God, right? And I love this idea that as a follower of Christ, that I have the ability to be pleasing to my Heavenly Father, that I can delight in Him, and my delight in Him causes Him to delight in my delight. I was thinking about this, my kids, ever since they've been able to talk, and even before that, right, they would always love to, parents, you know what this is like. They'll draw three green lines on a piece of paper, and then come running up to you to show you their artwork. And then you, parent, you have to, if you're a good parent at all, you have to act like it is the most amazing piece of artwork ever. Because when you do that, man, your kid lights up with excitement because they've done something that pleased their parent. And as a parent, I'm pleased that they want to please me, and they're pleased that I'm pleased. And that is exactly here what Paul is saying, that when we submit ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, that He delights, that we find delight in Him. And so Paul says, become a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable, that brings delight and pleasure to your Heavenly Father. He says, this is your spiritual worship, that when we do this, when we delight in God, worship is our acknowledgement of who God is, and then some kind of proclamation of that truth, that God, we recognize who you are, and we return the glory and honor to you that you're due. That's worship. And Paul says that when we submit ourselves as a living sacrifice, when we delight in God, that is an act of spiritual worship toward our Heavenly Father. And then Paul is going to get really, really, really practical about what this looks like, this life submitted, this life sacrificed to your Heavenly Father. He says this in verse 2. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And what Paul is communicating here is this truth that there is a way that our world reacts, responds, thinks. There's a worldly perspective of how they view and how they manage their life. And we're seeing a lot of that right now. That there is a way that our world is reacting to all of the stuff that's going on right now. There's panic, there's fear and worry, and there's financial stress and all of this stuff that's weighing in on the world. And there is a way that the rest of the world who do not have a relationship with Jesus, who haven't sacrificed their life holy and acceptable to God, there is a way that world is going to respond and react to the circumstances in which they find themselves right now. And Paul says, no, do not conform any longer to those types of things. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I chose to shoot this video today in the weight room here at the YMCA where we typically meet for church. And the reason that I did that is because when I think about a weight room, I think about transformation. Not for me, obviously. I got a lot of work to do before I could call myself physically transformed. But what I do know to be true about working out is that it's really hard, especially at first. That it doesn't. It's not just one day. You can't just come in, work out for one day, and walk out of here with a six-pack and ripped up and biceps and the whole deal. You can't do it in a day. You can't do it in a week. It takes months and months of repetition, of commitment, of devotion to doing it every single day, even when it's hard, even when you don't feel like it. That's how you transform yourself physically, by working out in a place just like this. But Paul says, now don't no longer be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed, not physically, but spiritually. Be transformed, and then he tells us the how, by the renewal of your mind. Here's what I believe Paul is trying to get across. That you and I, the way that we're not going to conform to the patterns of the world, the way that you and I aren't going to respond the same way that everybody else is responding right now, is by changing the way, by transforming the way that we think. Paul, I think, would tell us, we have so much to be excited about. All that stuff that we just read about in chapters 1 through 11 in the book of Romans. How we have life in Christ and how salvation is for all. And how God has made a way for us to be connected to Him. That even though all of us are sinners, that there's life through Jesus Christ. And that is the backdrop by which Paul says, don't think about those things. Don't conform to the way that the world thinks. Transform yourself by the renewing of your mind. And there's tons of information right now about reasons why you should be scared and reasons why you should be anxious and all of these other things. But if I could make this encouragement to you, I'd ask you to change how you think, to transform. Don't conform to the patterns of the world, but transform the way that you think by renewing your mind. Other places in Scripture, it tells us that to take every thought captive, to be careful what you think about. And so right now, you and I have the opportunity to see the worst and be afraid. Or we can delight in the truth that our Heavenly Father is still on His throne and that He still loves us and that none of this is happening outside of His sight or control, that He is still in control of everything that's going on in our lives, and He loves us. And when I choose to think about that, all of that fear and anxiety and worry and financial worries and physical worries, all of that stuff, it's not gone. It's still there. But my mind is focused and fixated on the things of God, the positive things and the truths that I know about this world, that this world isn't the end of anything. Right? That even if things get as bad as they could possibly be, that there is still hope on the other side of disaster because we have a relationship with a Heavenly Father that has told us that we're going to be with Him forever. And those are the things that we need to be thinking about right now. That's where our attention and our focus needs to be, even in these most difficult of circumstances. So this week, here's what I want you to do. I want you to have the Peter Pan Neverland approach. Right? If you want to fly, man, you got to think happy thoughts. And not just happy, but joyful. Because happiness is circumstantial. Joy is something that is deep within us. And the thing that gives us that source of joy is our hope in Christ and the belief that He's still on the throne. He's still in control and He loves us. He will provide and protect us through all of this. So this week, why don't you and I make a commitment together right now to think good things. Set our attention and our focus on the positive things, the response to Scripture as we submit ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing, acceptable to our Heavenly Father. Let's pray together. Father, God, these are indeed difficult times. But Lord, in the midst of all of this, You're still God. You still love us. You still want good for our lives, and You still have good things in store for us. And God, though we may struggle and though we may drift into the thoughts of fear, God, You're there too. And so, Father, this week it's my hope that for myself, for my family, and for everybody else that calls Fusion City Church home, and God, everybody that doesn't attend Fusion that'll hear and watch this video, God, I pray that You would pull their mind to the positive things that they can focus on. Sure, we can focus on the negative, but God, all that does is make it bigger. So, Father, will we choose this week to focus on You, on Your love for us, on the gift of Your Son, on the gospel, knowing that, God, we have an eternity beyond all of this with You, the one who gave Your Son so that we could have hope and so that we could have peace and so that we could have an opportunity to delight in our heavenly parent, our heavenly Father. And that, God, our delight in You not only brings us delight, but God, it's delightful to You and for You. And so, God, we want to give You the honor and the glory that You do by choosing to focus on the things that You've promised that are good for us. So, Father, would You turn our attention to those things in these moments? We love You, God. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, the hope, the peace, and the joy that we can have through Him. It's in His name I pray. Amen.
Thanks again for hanging out with us at Church Online with Fusion City Church. Before we leave, I just want to say a quick thank you to all of you who are giving on a regular basis. This is such a crazy time that we are in. And for those of you who are giving and automating the important, I want to say thank you. Because you see, Fusion City Church, we're here to help our community. We're continuing to support the YMCA. We're continuing to support Connect Groups. We're continuing to support families that are in need. And together as a church, we can make a great, great impact. So I want to say thank you to all of you who are giving. For those of you who have yet to decide to be generous or don't think that that's something that you can even do without actually meeting at a physical location, I want to encourage you to check out FusionCityChurch.com, and there you'll see easy electronic ways that you can give. Just hit the give button at the top of the screen. You guys have a great week, and we'll see you back